When you're lost in the darkness, look for The Pod. Specifically, the Prestige TV podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network, where we're breaking down every new episode of HBO's The Last of Us. On Sunday nights, grab your battery and join Van Lathan and Charles Holmes for an instant reaction to the latest episode.
Then head back to the QZ on Tuesdays for a deep dive with Joanna Robinson and Mallory Rubin. From character arcs to video game adaptation choices, story themes to needle drops, we'll parse every inch of this cordyceps-coded universe. Watch out for mouth tendrils and follow along on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Priceline. When it comes to travel, we all have that happy place, whether it's the beach, ski slopes, couples getaway, or even a visit to that best friend you haven't seen in way too long. And Priceline wants to get you there for a happy price so you never have to miss a trip. For me, my happy place is in the Mediterranean. I think I've mentioned that. Maybe it's why I like Love Island so much, because they're right by the Mediterranean. But I just love the feeling of being in the sea, and it's just a great sea. And now, thanks to Priceline's VIP family feature, you can go to your happy place more often while earning deals up to 5 times faster with a group. When one person from the squad travels, everyone gets more deals. And you even get to choose your crew. It doesn't have to be your actual family. It could be your neighbor, your roommate, your mailman, anyone. The more you travel, the more you save. And for me, I'd love to go on a trip to the Mediterranean with friends. In fact, I might be doing that in the near future. I have done it before, and it was really some of the most fun I've ever had. I went to Sicily. We had some great swimming there, me and my friends. Anyway, if you want to have a similar experience, download the Priceline app today to save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your happy price with Priceline. This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. All right, it's official. I think I've discovered the ultimate coupling of all time. Like any good relationship, they really balance each other out. One is super sweet, and the other, well, they can be a little nutty sometimes. It is, of course, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. So perfect, some would call it true love. Find Reese's now at a store near you. Welcome to Bachelor Party. I'm Juliette Littman. Well, today I talk to one of my heroes. It's Jesse Palmer, everybody. I'm concerned he may think I'm a little bit deranged after this conversation, but hey, I had a great time. I hope you're going to enjoy it. Just want to say, disclaimer, couldn't find the courage to ask him if he was the one getting divorced. So I'm sorry I let you all down after my big talk earlier this week, but I just couldn't do it. You know, just love Jesse. Didn't want to put him in that position. Anyway, give it a listen. Hope you enjoy. And Callie and I will be back on Monday night, as per usual. Welcome to Bachelor Party, Jesse Palmer. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming back. Jesse, I'm going to be honest. I think I might be your biggest fan outside of your family and your wife's family.
Why?
What do you mean, why? I think you're great at your job.
Thanks. Thank you. I love your pod. I love this whole thing, by the way. I love being out with you too. Bachelor Party, kidding me? Yes. New favorite.
I don't know. First of all, I also want to apologize to you. I was like, when you guys went to France last year and you had such excellent French pronunciation, I was like, well, he's a broadcaster. He just like is good at his job. But no, you speak French.
Yeah, I grew up in Canada. So I went to an immersion school when I was...
You did?
Yeah. My parents don't speak French, but I have a younger brother and they put us in French immersion from kindergarten all the way through high school.
That's awesome. I mean, like, do you understand French or do you sound good speaking it?
No, I don't even know what I'm saying. I like memorize a menu and I'm like, I'll just say all these food words and then off it goes. Yeah, no, I love it. I go to France at least once a year. I have a home in Montreal. So I go back to Montreal a ton. That's sort of my connection back home to Canada. And I love it. Yeah.
Did you grow up in Quebec? Quebec, as they say?
Quebec. I grew up in Ottawa, the capital city, which is a bilingual city because it is the seat of our parliament within Canada. And it's very close to Quebec as well. So there are a lot of people in Ottawa that speak French. And actually, in fact, we have many Francophones.
Including you.
Yeah, you know, yes.
Wow.
I love a good poutine.
Someone, is that French or just Canadian though? That's just French Canadian, right?
Well, poutine, yeah. I mean, okay, this could anger a lot of people listening if they live above the border. I think it's a French-Canadian thing.
I think
everybody
too.
Eats in Canada. And when you say poutine, it just sounds better than poutine.
Sure. It doesn't sound gross is what you're saying.
Tarte au sucre and poutine are, I think, are I'm pretty sure, are Quebecois delicacies.
One of my top sporting events that I'd like to attend is the Canadian Grand Prix. Have you ever been?
Oh, yeah. You mean the F1?
Yeah. I went to the Mexico Grand Prix last year, and it was one of the best weekends of my life. And now I want to go to the Canadian one.
So, you know, I think that the F1 Grand Prix is like my favorite weekend in Canada, period. Maybe outside of Canada Day, or Boxing Day. It's really good.
Non-holiday. Yeah, best weekend.
Yeah. F1 should be a holiday. And Montreal just goes off. You should go. You would absolutely love it.
I really want to.
Yeah.
I can't believe you went to Mexico.
That's awesome.
It was seriously incredible. Martin Garrix just like performed afterwards. I was like, okay, cool. It was crazy. I don't know. Grand Prix are, I've only been to one, but it was, like I said, one of the best weekends I've ever had. It was so much fun. And Mexico goes hard.
I bet. I've been to Monaco twice for the Grand Prix.
Oh my God. Jealous.
But that's really bougie. Montreal's not as bougie as that. Don't prepare. You know, it's like the Monaco one's pretty bougie.
How did you watch on a yacht?
I was on a balustrade. Always wanted to say
balustrade. Oh.
Yeah, it was a really nice view kind of at the hairpin turn down by the marina.
Which year? French.
I went, I want to say, in like 15 and like 13 and 15, 14 and 16.
Who won?
I don't know. Lewis Hamilton. When in doubt, Lewis Hamilton.
Just say Lewis. I think he's in Hawaii right now. Jesse, so last time I talked to you, you were new to this gig. I think that was during Clayton season. That was your first season, right?
Yes.
So you're a year in, several seasons, broken a lot of ground, two bachelorettes, Clayton just absolutely ruining his season, but for himself, you know, it was fun as a viewer. What have you learned about being the host of The Bachelor in a year's time?
You never know what to expect, that's for sure. And I think you wear a lot of different hats and you have to wear different hats for different people. I think the big key to each season is are the cast, are the people, their personalities, what they're looking for. Everybody's been different. Every season, therefore, has felt different. And so I think you just sort of need to be nimble and flexible and try to understand as quickly as you can what the Bachelor, the Bachelorette, or the cast need in that season.
Interesting. So like, what has Zach needed that Clayton did not, and vice versa?
A hug. Listen, this season with Zach has been the most emotional season that I've hosted between any of the shows. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that. I think one, Zach is very intentional. He's there to find love, and that's why he's there. And I think people saw this last episode. He's just not doing the drama. He's not in for it. Tajwan says she wants to join the party. Zach doesn't need to like go to each girl and be like, hey, what would you think if I invited another woman in? Would you be cool? Does that leave the door open? Zach just goes and makes the decision. He makes it himself. He sits down. He does it quickly. He goes to see the women, tells them what he did, move on. He's not there to mess around. He's there to find his person. What was most different for me, especially on night one of this season, I would say, is how many women came out of the limo and said, I'm here because you're the Bachelor.
I find that really hard to believe. I'm sorry. If I found out it was Zach, I'd be like, I'm not sure I want to go. It's no shots at Zach.
But a lot of these women are, and they've kind of said it throughout the first couple of episodes. You've seen it a lot. And so, you know, the drama as this season unfolds really is organic. And it's because of the love story, falling in love, people's hearts being broken, and really, really tough goodbyes. Zach, some people saw this at the end of Rachel and Gabby's season when we were in Mexico. He's an emotional guy and he's not afraid to show that emotion on his sleeve. You're going to see more and more of that from Zach as the season goes on. And there were a lot of moments for me as the host where you sort of got to give him a hug and you got to tell him it's going to be okay. And you got to tell him to trust his gut. And, you know, terrible football analogy, you got to play the next play. You got to turn the page and you got to move on. You can't take your eye off of why you're there. And that's to find your person. But he doesn't do the goodbyes and he's so present in the moment. He doesn't just say goodbye and he's like, all right, back into the mansion. Cheers. We're off to wherever. He really thinks about what he's letting go of and what he's potentially missing out on. And so, you know, and I appreciate that about him. He's super authentic. And so that was very new for me as the host of this season.
Interesting. I feel bad. I was so mean about Zach. He seems like a nice guy. I talked to him last week.
I'll tell Zach you said it. It's fine. It's totally good.
I sometimes feel like when I'm watching you as the host, sometimes feel like you're like really in it in a way that some of the participants are not. Do you approach it like you do any of your other jobs, or like does this feel very specific in your tools of being on camera?
I think for me, I'm just trying to make it as authentic as I possibly can. I think I'm an empathetic person by nature. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of that, certainly a lot of that I hope comes across, but it's not intentional. It's just sort of who I am. And, you know, and I'm just trying to be me. I'm trying not to be anybody else. And I try to play the role required. I try to wear the hat Zach needs. And I try to be very aware of the fact that while he is the bachelor and this is his journey, it's also about the women as well. It's their journey just as much as it is his. But I also at the same time try to not make it about me. I try not to interject. I'm not trying to be like the guy like who's like always hiding in the bushes and pops out with like an opinion or this is what I would do. Like it's Zach's deal and it's their deal. And so that's kind of the lane I try to stay in on this.
That's so interesting. I'm trying to think of like the moments where I felt like it was the most like you were playing Jesse Palmer host. I feel like during Rachel and Gabby season a little bit. And I wonder, is there something different about interacting with the men pursuing a woman versus the women pursuing a man that like makes you approach it differently?
For me, not so much. And I wasn't trying to approach it differently. I think for me, it's just, you know, having familiarity, obviously, with Gabby and Rachel having been through everything they were through with on Clayton's season. It's just talking to them as people and getting them to talk about how they're feeling and you know, what they're going through and trying to help them. You know, they each had sort of unique and separate journeys on their own experience as well. To me, it's not so much about whether it's a guy, you know, it's a man or it's a woman. For me, it's just talking to people as people and just being for them regardless of what situation they're in.
Did you like hang out with Rachel and Gabby on the boat? Confined space.
Yeah. Yes, it was. can't get away too far. So I knew where to find him.
Are you claustrophobic?
No.
Thank God.
Yeah. A little afraid of heights, not too much, but I do love water. Open water, I'm fine with.
Wow.
I enjoyed the ship.
You know, because I'm a known Jesse Palmer super fan, people like would DM me if they ever saw you, and someone DM me saying that they saw you in St. Bart. So I'm not surprised to hear you like the open water.
I do love some sunshine and rosé. Guilty.
Who does it? That's why you're made for Bachelor Nation. I think that's the motto. Sunshine and rosé.
Sunshine and champagne. Heck yeah. I'm in.
What's the worst decision you think you've seen someone make? It could be big or small. Like, just
on
like,
our show?
Where you're like, yeah. And it could be in paradise. You're just like, why?
Yeah. I think when Meatball poured sauce all over himself on stage. I'll never be able to. Yeah, I won't unsee that ever. That unfortunately, that's nightmare fuel, and I knew it when I saw it. I had visceral reactions to it.
You look disgusted right now.
I haven't had spaghetti and meatballs for a while.
Oh my goodness! So between Rachel and Tino, and Clayton and Susie, and Gabby and Eric, which of those three outcomes surprised you the most? Where you're like, "Huh, didn't think they were going to choose this person."
That is a good question. I feel like I don't know if I ever really had like a good lead on or a lean on who any of the three were going to end up with in the end. I would say probably Rachel was the one where I thought it really could be Avon. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Going into it pretty deep.
Forgot about Avon. Thanks for the reminder. He seemed great.
He was great. And that was someone I know that Rachel obviously had really, really strong feelings for too. And I know that's one that kind of went down to the wire. So that, you know, that was definitely surprising. Yeah. I'd say of the three, that was probably the one where I was the most unsure of.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. All right, it's official. I think I've discovered the ultimate coupling of all time. Like any good relationship, they really balance each other out. One is super sweet, and the other, well, they can be a little nutty sometimes. It is, of course, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. So perfect, some would call it true love. Find Reese's now at a store near you. This episode is brought to you by eBay Authenticity Guarantee. eBay knows that when it comes to jewelry, authenticity is the real gem. When you see the blue check mark that says Authenticity Guarantee, it means your next piece will be carefully inspired by jewelry experts and will always be worth its weight in gold. Whether you're looking to make a statement or build the perfect everyday look, eBay is making sure you get the real deal. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that jaw-dropping piece will always arrive jaw-droppingly real. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This episode is brought to you by Thomas's.
Thomas's presents Pondering the Bagel with Tom.
Oh, the paradox of the bagel. Tis crunchy yet soft. Tis filling yet has a hole. Tis a vehicle for spreads, but only travels from toaster to plate. Thomas's. Huzzah! A toast to breakfast.
Another just lingering question we have on this podcast is, what is it about Rodney? If you could define why everyone is so obsessed with this man, or explain it, like, what is it about him? I would love to know. Like, all I want to do is experience the Rodney charm, but I need someone to explain it to me.
Because you wouldn't also show up. Like, you wouldn't be excited about Rodney. just like Zach. You're like, no, if Rodney was the Bachelor, I wouldn't go. Like, listen, I don't think anybody wants to go. I'm not going.
I don't know why Rodney is not the Bachelor, let alone president. Like, it just seems like he is so beloved.
Well, what do you think it is about Rodney from what you've seen? And you've now gotten to see him on Michelle's season. You've seen him in Paradise.
Yes.
Let's talk about it.
I think he seems like a great coach. I think he seems like a real motivator. Like, I'm trying to think of who I would compare him to. Like, I don't know. In the NFL, like, I feel like he gives me, like, what's the name of the Dolphins coach now? I forget his name.
He
reminds me a little bit of him. And in the NBA, he reminds me a little bit of, like, I don't know, like a Mike Malone, like someone who people just really, like, feel an emotional connection with. I say that once because I saw Mike Malone give, like, DeMarcus Cousins a really big hug before he checked in for a game, and I've never forgotten it. So I always think of him as, like, a beloved coach. But, like, I don't know. There's just something about him where he seems like he could really rally like a high school football team and like just get them to the state finals based on charm alone.
Those are actually, I think, pretty good analogies because Rodney's the kind of guy who like puts others before himself. Like, he's thinking about the team, mm-hmm. you know, and first off, he's Rancho Cucamonga's finest.
That's sure.
Everybody needs to get that. Just know that right away. But I got to say, he really is as genuinely sweet and as good a guy in real life as he comes across on TV. You know how you watch people on TV, you're like, there's no way that guy's that nice.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, is that Rodney?
That's Rodney. Rodney is genuinely super sweet. When you meet him, when you talk to someone, you just have their full attention and they're just so locked in and genuinely happy to be talking to you and interested, engaged. Mm-hmm. Like, Rodney makes you feel like you're the most important person in the world. And I'm sure that that's what women like. That's, you know, I'm sure how women sometimes feel when they're dating Rodney. So I mean, I totally get it. And he played football. So I mean, immediately.
Did
I'm
he?
A fan. Yeah. Zach played football. Played football.
I know.
You see what's going on here?
I know that about those two. I didn't know that about Rodney. I feel like he's got so much charm, he doesn't even bring it up. Like, a lot of guys who play football bring it up.
He's way too well-spoken to play football. God, that guy finishes sentences so well. His vocabulary is incredible. There's no chance he played football.
Did he play D1?
Yeah.
Wow. Where?
Fresno State, I believe.
Oh my goodness. Wow. I mean, I know about Zach. I know about Clayton. I mean, we this week we looked up to see if Cal Poly was D1, and it was. What do you think it is, I should say? What do you think it is about The Bachelor in football? Like, why do they go together? Like, what is it? If anyone knows, it's you.
I don't. I still don't know why they picked me. I mean,
the first time or for this job?
The first time, for sure. I think, like, no, it is about football. You know, it's like, you know, you need, maybe they feel like they need big, burly, strong guys to come in. And like when they're getting out of the limo, you sort of have to have all the profiles, and like football sort of fills that one need. I don't know. But football players in general are pretty quick on their feet. You have to be, you know, and sort of you got to be okay in spaces that have a lot of other people in them and be able to kind of handle the drama. And you got to be able to sort of be able to navigate all of that. We play on teams. It's not always just about you, but that is a really good question. There've been a lot of athletes that have taken part, but I would say if someone did the research, I bet football players by far would be the sport of choice, no doubt.
Oh, absolutely. I don't even need to look it up. I could rattle off a whole bunch off the top of my head. I mean, Clay Harbor, Jordan Rogers, Andrew Spencer, so many more. I mean, we've named six so far.
2 years.
Yeah, exactly. It's crazy.
Matt James. Yeah.
Yeah, Matt James, Tyler Cameron, just all these great guys. I went to the finale part one with Rachel and Gabby, and you were running lines in between and during the commercials. I was very impressed. Like, what else? Like, I was like, oh, this is a quarterback. He's studying. Like, this is like the Microsoft Surface in his hands, but he's just reading his lines.
You're going over the plays, you're seeing the stills. What's our next set? How are we scripting this? What's
that
next?
That reminds me. I was very worried about your schedule. Were you able to watch college football while shooting Zach's season?
I was. I've got a master plan.
Nice.
I get the coach's copy. There's an app that gives me the high end zone and the all 22.
Oh,
same copy that players actually study, so that when we're away on the road internationally, I'm still able to watch games either live or after the fact, so that when I go back into studio on ESPN, I'm locked and loaded.
Nice. I was really worried. I didn't want you to give up any of your jobs or income, you know? Just gotta stay busy.
You gotta turn the next page, yeah.
Yeah. Through all your studying, what do you think makes a good lead? Like, through, you know, being through this now three times in Paradise, like, what do you think you need to have? And also having been the lead yourself.
Yeah, authenticity, I think, is the biggest thing. And just being comfortable in your own shoes, which sounds super cliche. And as we talk about it, that's like, yeah, it's obvious. Of course you do. And everybody should do that. But I know going into that role, whether you're the bachelor or the bachelorette, it's just something you just can't prepare for.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing that you'll ever do that will get you ready to do that mm-hmm. specific role. And it is so hard not to wonder, I think, when going into the role, how can I be the perfect bachelor? How can I be the perfect bachelorette? What sort of things should I do and say that will not only make the men or the women fall in love with me, but the millions of Americans at home watching the show? I want to be the perfect bachelor or bachelorette. It's impossible. You can't. The only thing you can do, because people at home can smell imposter syndrome. Like, people get that. And then Definitely. They can smell that. When you're not being yourself and you're not being authentic, I think it comes across, it reads that way. Not just to the women or the men in the room, but I think to people at home that are watching as well. So I think the only way to do it, the most important thing, no matter what you say, how you dress, any of that, it just needs to be, just be true to yourself and do you. And that way it'll make it a lot harder to regret things later on. Because, like, you know, it's no one's, I don't know if anybody's ever gone through the show not regretting anything, but when you're yourself and you're staying true to yourself and you're following your gut, then I think it makes it easier to sleep at night and just be happy with how the journey unfolded.
Mm-hmm. You know, Gabby definitely really had that, where you're just like, clearly this is an authentic person. Like, you're just, she doesn't even think about censoring herself. And we loved her as a result. And it's on the flip side in that season, Tino seemed like a major phony, like, from the beginning. You're just like, this guy seems like there's something not quite real about how he's interacting with Rachel. And I just think that, like, was not surprising that fell apart to me. Did you, like, do you ever feel that way? Like, when, do you ever talk to them and give them your impressions?
Oh, I mean, it's hard to, because, you know, obviously I don't know any of them before they come on the show. So it's,
sure.
I don't really have like a baseline that I can compare it to and be like, you're not sounding like yourself, or you wouldn't say that. Like, your friends would call you out. You have to take, it's like everybody else watching at home. I'm the same way. When they get out of the limo on the first night, generally that's the first time I've met them or seen them.
Right.
So you just sort of watch as you go. You take it for face value of who they are and what they say. And then, you know, it's obviously easy to armchair quarterback this in hindsight when we look back on everything and go, ah, I knew it. But in the moment, it's possible too, I think.
Well, I'm curious. I'll tell you some of my predictions for this season, and you can tell me if they're hot or cold. But before, what happened on the second group date this week? Rumor has it, it was a puppet show with Zach's uncle, David Putty, a.k.a. Kronk, a.k.a. Patrick Warburton, and it didn't air.
Really?
Yeah, it didn't air.
I'm a big fan of his uncle. Actually, Patrick Warburton.
Seinfeld.
I just love his voice. He's in a new commercial now.
Many people love his voice. He's also, as Zach told me, the voice of Soarin' California at Disneyland.
He's the voice of a new Sauvignon Blanc that just came out. And there's like a football commercial. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't. But once again, football and wine.
I know. It's everything bachelor's.
So what happened on the date? Do you remember it?
No.
You weren't there?
I was not.
Wow. So what do you do on the off days? I guess if you're in LA, you could see your family or something.
Yeah, family do live out here, but I can never go too far. You're sort of like a doctor on call. Most of the time I'm around, and at times that I do skirt away, I can't venture too far off.
Do they like drive you around? Like, let's say you want to go to like, I don't know, Taco Bell. Do you drive yourself? Like, do you have a pager, an ankle monitor?
And they use a bachelor light. There's like a big rose that just goes off in the sky. And I'm like, damn it, right in the middle of my Taco Bell order.
Damn it. Do you ever have Taco Bell?
I'm going back. Sure.
What do you eat on the road or on the cruise ship? Craft services or like special meals just for Jesse Palmer?
Yeah, usually it's like white shaved truffles from Alba. I'll put that on Cheerios or pretty much anything. But there's always a butler following me around with the shaved truffles.
You're not giving me anything good here. No truth. I'm just hearing about your dream life of your butler. I want to know what you eat when you're on the ship.
I probably eat a lot of the same stuff that you would eat. What do you say?
I don't know.
The food that's available. I'm watching carbs right now. Maybe a little cholesterol. I'm just trying to make heart health choices.
I like the minutiae of making The Bachelor. That's why I was asking. Like, did they give you craft services or like?
Yes.
Nice.
Yes. Try to balance it out.
Do you get to sightsee?
Sometimes, which I love. That's one of the things I love about the show now is because it's gotten so much bigger and the budget is so much bigger than when I was The Bachelor. I got to ride an elephant on my season, but now everybody gets whisked away in the helicopter and they're landing on yachts in the Mediterranean, serving white truffles all the time. And it's like, it's great. It must be nice because that's not, you know, but now it's like I get to go to these beautiful places. And if I do get downtime, I'm able to sightsee a little bit and take it in. While not veering too far away. The pager and ankle monitor always.
So you're basically like a bachelor inmate who also gets paid to be there.
yeah, that's right. Yeah, you can never really leave. It's like Alcatraz.
Sure.
It's like, you walk around, but you're not going to get too far.
Yeah, you can just stay on this bachelor island. All right, I don't know who's going to win, but here are some of the people that I've had my eye on. You can just say hot or cold. Katie, who next week is getting the tent one-on-one. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like it.
Okay. I think Gabby is going to be a sleeper, even though she came off really, really poorly with the nicknames this week. I feel like Gabby's actually going to go far.
Zach didn't like the maple syrup right out of the car, did he?
Who would?
That really, which I have a problem with that. I sort of wish Zach would have kind of gone with a little bit more, but he was like actually like visibly upset by it.
Yeah, I think he was disgusted. One thing I like about him is his very expressive face. When he's like not into it, he's just like, no.
It's like,
no,
you totally you. Know. I'm like, dude, just like go with it. It's maple syrup. It's amazing. Just chug it. And he's just like, I hated that. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it's gross. It's also not the first time they've done like a maple syrup shot on The Bachelor in recent years.
No, so. Blake did it with Katie. You're right.
Yes.
It's like, come on, people. If someone's Canadian or like from Vermont, which we'd say South Canada, like you know it's going to happen.
Do people say that? Vermont is South Canada?
No, I just did.
Oh, I like it. All right, cool. And my final pick is Jess. I just think that sweet Jess is going to go very far.
I like sweet Jess.
Yeah.
Outside of the fact that she went to Florida State. Outside of that, phenomenal.
Body glitter, Jess. Do you know that my bachelor party co-host is Callie Curry, who played volleyball at the University of Florida?
Well, she must be super talented.
She is. She is super talented.
Of course she is.
Yeah.
That's not surprising.
Yeah,
she's a gator.
Yeah, she's a gator.
She's 6 feet tall and like just
she
like,
is.
She's elegant.
Yes, she's all these things.
Yeah, so like, see, volleyball players actually put their degrees to good use and have these great careers. And then football players, we go on The Bachelor.
Yeah, and she's a Bachelor podcaster. She's just joining me on this journey. Jesse, it's been such a delight to chat with you. Thank you so much for bearing with my questions, big and small. I hope you enjoy the rest of the season and can't wait to keep watching you be a great host on The Bachelor.
I can't wait to do this with you again. I'm going to have my food order ready next time. I'm going to have the whole menu coursed out for you.
I like minutiae. I just like to know what's going on moment to moment, okay?
What are you eating? What kind of pill do you sleep on? What kind of pill do you give it? Well, Tempur-Pedic? What's
I hope to be the only person asking you how you're watching football on Saturdays in foreign countries, okay?
You absolutely were, yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jesse. Have a great afternoon.
Bye. Thank you, too.
Thank you so much to Jesse Palmer. Thank you to Jade Wheely for producing this episode. Big news. I am, in fact, watching Love Island. So Callie and I will talk about that next week. Catch up with us if you'd like to. It's on Hulu.
And stay off people's Instagrams. You don't want to get spoiled. All right, everyone. Have a great weekend. Talk to you soon.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.